the first building in the United States by Dutch architect and Pritzker Prize laureate Rem Koolhaas will open to the public tomorrow on the south side of Chicago. It's a student center with bright orange glass and a stainless steel tube on top through which the Chicago Elevated train passes. Rem Koolhaas' new work is on the campus of the Illinois Institute of Technology, IIT. Chicago Public Radio's Edward Lifson reports.
IIT is world famous for its campus, designed mainly in the 1940s by the German-born architect Ludwig Mies van der Rohe. Mies ran the architecture program there, and his buildings at IIT are elegant, minimalist compositions of glass, brick, and steel painted black. Inside and out, they relate to a grid. People who love them say that, as with a cantata by Bach, they can take a lifetime to fully appreciate. Rem Koolhaas says Mies' masterpieces do not readily seduce today's MTV generation.
We were told that the average student and their parents decide within 12 seconds of entering a campus whether they want to stay there or not. Mies requires more than 12 seconds in terms of understanding what is great about him.
So Koolhaas put bright orange glass facing the Mies campus. It reinforces Koolhaas' reputation as a hot, even sexy architect. At IIT, to knit together two sides of a campus separated by a noisy elevated train, Rem Koolhaas put a shiny, corrugated stainless steel tube about a block long on top of the student center. When the L sensually disappears into the tube, the racket goes away. The tube cost millions more than Koolhaas said it would, but the university got a striking urban symbol and is already using it as a marketing logo. 6'5", balding, and thin, Rem Koolhaas can seem pensive, even dour, but he had fun with this building. Gothic-style universities have gargoyles, and Koolhaas put a 20-foot-high supergraphic of the head of Mies around the front door of the student center. He's also poking fun there at the 1950s and 60s idea of the architect as superhero. Mies tried to define the spirit of his time by incorporating technology and industry into architecture. But Koolhaas says that in today's global economy, there is no spirit.
Maybe Mies captured the spirit of his age, and maybe we capture our age. And maybe that is the whole story.
So rather than one large, sublime Miesian space, Koolhaas' series of spaces flow into and through each other. They use daylight and a riot of color, angles, and finishes, such as bright green glossy epoxy and 3D wavy wallpaper and ceilings that remain unpainted. Koolhaas thinks his use of materials defines our age, and he may tell you so, but not verbally.
Why should I define it in words? I just define it in architecture.
The Chicago Tribune's architecture critic Blair Kamen says Koolhaas' cheap materials and finishes mar the building, which he does say contains profound concepts. For example, the pathways through this building were determined by the flow of people when the land was vacant. Kamen says this new building in the sometimes neglected and blighted south side of Chicago is worth learning from.
Before September 11th, he very articulately said that reurbanizing this no man's land had a significance far beyond the south side of Chicago, that essentially this was one of the great urban and architectural problems of our time. Certainly that was proved prescient when the hijacked jets hit the Trade Center and created the void that is Ground Zero. This whole notion of re-urbanizing the void is an essential part of this project and why, even with its faults, it's a project that has implications far beyond Chicago.
Kamen adds that an architect must transform ideas artfully into building. He says this Koolhaas work lacks the jewel-like precision of Mies. Mies, who said famously, "I don't want to be interesting, I want to be good." For Kamen, the Koolhaas building is interesting, perhaps more interesting than good. For National Public Radio, I'm Edward Lifson in Chicago.